This is Mae Brussel. This is the second half of World Watch's program 799. And where I left off 1 minute ago, in case you picked it up in the middle, I'm reading a campus report written by Reed Irvine, who's president of Accuracy in Media and Accuracy in Academia. It was written to Dr. Tom Clement, president of Foothill College, Los Altos Hills. And in the report, Reed Irvine is using quotations of David Emery's from the program One Step Beyond. And I see why his feathers got ruffled, because David Emery was talking about the Galen organization and the SS Gestapo. And previously, just a little while ago, I talked about Stefano Della Calle being arrested just yesterday, and he is one of the direct links of our government to the SS Gestapo, as is Klaus Barbie, who worked for the CIA, the CIC, and then the CIA, and I could go on and on. We've done broadcasts of those connections. Also, he noticed in his report to the president a section of David's broadcast where he referred to the World Anti-Communist League and to Western goals. And Reed Irvine is very close to the World Anti-Communist League and Western goals. He has board members of Accuracy in Media from Western goals and from the World Anti-Communist League. And I'll share those with you, the facts about that, in a moment. But I can see why he got excited about this tape. He quoted David Emery on the broadcast saying, "They are very close to the Reagan administration, the World Anti-Communist League, Western goals, the Nazis. And for them, freely disposing of anybody whose views they don't care for is a matter of course." Now, you can just, the most recent documentation of getting rid of people who didn't like Ronald Reagan's views was the testimony of the FBI man in Texas who said that if people didn't like the administration's views, Ronald Reagan's administration views, they were to be sent back to El Salvador, and the death squads would be tipped off that they were arriving there, and they would be sent to certain death as payment for not liking the administration's views. Now, the article, in Accuracy in Academia continues, quotes, and this is quoting David Emery, "One of the things we have focused on in these broadcasts is our intelligence system's attempts to develop means of assassination, which would mimic either disease or suicide or something else. Assassination by cancer is a fact," end quotes. Then he continues, "Emery urges listeners to read obituaries and," quote, "see how many people are dying from supposed suicides, cancers, leukemias, in particular people like Sylvia Jacobson," end quote. Emery then attacked those such as Israel's intelligence service, the Mossad, who have charged the Soviets with encouraging and abetting terrorism. He said most of the actions can be blamed on the Soviets. They turned out to be our own operations in order to make the Soviets look bad in one way or another, the Pope shooting being one," end quotes. He said by ours, he meant Western intelligence agencies. Another key word that got his feathers up was the Mossad. "That is the holy area. You can't write about that, talk about on the radio. The only one who's had the courage to write about the Mossad consistently with these intelligence teams has been Lyndon LaRouche, and he has now been forced to leave the country, and probably and unfortunately his publications will fold under, and many of you will never have the opportunity to read Executive Intelligence Review with issue after issue of the Mossad's links to the Defense Intelligence Agency, the CIA, the National Security Council, the death squads, and the horrendous stories that have been going on around the world with the assistance of the Mossad. Not alone, but doing it. That is a word you can't use and continue to write in this country or get on broadcasts of a large amount of listeners if you tap the Mossad. Now, going back to this article, he said that by ours he meant Western intelligence agencies, not specifically the U.S., although we're in there pitching, end quote. He said Gaddafi, the Pope shooting, being just two of the elements that come to mind, the Olympics massacre and others, end quote. Emery also charged that Gloria Steinem's MS magazine is essentially a CIA publication. He said its editor, Gloria Steinem, had been CIA for many years. Its first publisher was Elizabeth Forsling Harris, who planned Kennedy's motorcade route in Dallas, Texas, and was obviously up to her eyeballs in the assassination. One of the key stockholders of Ms. was Katherine Graham, whose affiliation with CIA and the Washington Post and Newsweek we discussed on Radio 88.1. One Step Beyond. That show is available from Davcore. Davcore is a tape duplication service that sells tapes of the broadcasts of Emory and Tuck on KFJC. Reed Irvine, chairman of Accuracy in Media and Academia, now this is the important part, asked Foothill College president Tom Clements if it would disturb him to learn that his radio station was airing charges that the government was practicing assassination by cancer, that it had killed John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and that the United States or Western intelligence agencies were behind the attempt to kill Pope John Paul II. Dr. Clements said it would indeed disturb him if KFJC was airing such statements, and if that is true, he would take action to see that it was stopped. He said there had been complaints about the station, but that there had been nothing this specific. The tapes and a partial transcript of Emory Tuck program have been sent to Dr. Clements. And, of course, I invite on the air, and I'm going to send a personal letter, I invite Dr. Clements, in the interest of fairness, let him be the judge to come down to my home, and I will show him the file on the Pope and the Pope shooting, the drawers, not a file folder, but maybe three or four drawers of a filing cabinet. I will show him the research on the murder of John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King, and let him see if it isn't okay to air the situation that has been described as a major scandal by some, the killing of people like John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King, and the attempted assassination plot on the Pope. Now, as far as cancer, I just pulled out of my file on medicine. I have two drawers and boxes full of articles. Just at random, the few to share with you that I've had on World Watchers to give to the university president there in case he has any doubts about what's going on. One was August the 19th, 1985. This was program 716. I had on World Watchers for the Monterey Herald. Study due of inmates injected with cancer. More than 200 Ohio prison inmates 23 years ago were injected with cancer cells. New York City Medical Center is trying to locate them now. The 12-year study was done by Sloan Kettering as part of a federal National Cancer Institute funding to give them cancer cells. New York Times, July 14, 1984. Max Cutler, cancer expert, dies. Cutler, an expert in cancer research with Dr. Loyal Davis, that's Nancy Reagan's stepfather, in trying to treat cancer of the brain, inserted radium implanted directly into the diseased parts of the brain. Dr. Cutler worked as a Rockefeller Fellow in cancer research. There are four persons linked to the three to the Rockefeller foundations, one a president of Rockefeller University on the board of Accuracy and Media, and one from the Council of Foreign Relations set up by Rockefeller, but three directly from the Rockefeller Institute. One is Eugene Wigner from Western Gold, who is the right-hand man of Reverend Moon, and the other is Edward Teller, and the president of Rockefeller University is on the board of Accuracy and Media. Third article, this is Associated Press, November 8, 1979. Man receives death sentence in murder by cancer. Two persons were poisoned with rocket fuel additive in lemonade and milk. It caused cancer. Mr. Harper stole the lethal substance from Epley Institute for Cancer Research, where he works as a lab assistant. How did he know it wouldn't cause cancer? Why would he put in the milk and lemonade? And he received the death sentence because he knew how to cause cancer by putting it in food substances. So it has been perfected, and the Epley lab knows about that. Many of you remember these. I've had these on World Watchers. Washington Post, November 27, 1984. A Brooklyn study with elderly patients indicated they were injected with cancer cells. The purpose, to test the cancer cells or how they act, why were they injected with them? But people on the wards who they felt, I guess it was the end of the line for them, maybe wanting to see how fast they grow, they were injected with cancer cells. Well, we know that there are 3-year cancers, such as Martha Mitchell had. There's 3-week cancers that Jack Ruby had. There's a 3-hour cancer where William Casey of the CIA had some seizures and goes right into the cancer ward. And, of course, they inserted radiation in his brain. And look how well he's doing. The Brooklyn State. Now, the last article, and I have many of these. I just want to give some items. or examples about these matters. May the 24th, 1987, Washington Times. Man who first isolated cancer virus dead at 84. Albert Claude, awarded the Nobel Prize for Medicine in 1974, isolated the first visible cancer virus in 1933. He had a picture of the cancer virus, and he helped create the science of cell biology with this cancer virus. Claude worked at the Institute for Cancer Research in Berlin, Germany. He next worked 18 years at the Rockefeller Institute in New York, of which he is a member. At least four members of, on the board of Accuracy in Media I mentioned are part of the Rockefeller Foundation. One is Eugene Wigner. The other is Edward Teller, who started his career with the Rockefeller Foundation. The third is Frederick Seitz, the president of Rockefeller University at the present time, and William Simon, who is a member of the CFR, the Rockefeller set up, the Rockefeller family. So Mr. Reed Irvine doesn't like that talk of cancer because just two out of the five I selected here have something to do with the Rockefeller University. So, and as far as the terrorism, accusing the Mossad, accuses the Soviet Union of terrorism, where they are behind terrorism, I just want to quote Alexander Coburn from the Wall Street Journal, April 17th, 1986. He said, "The cult of terrorism is the abdication of political thought. Say the word terrorism, and in a familiar conditioning of reflex, people think Palestinians. Where is the sense of proportion? Between 1967 and 1982, that's a five-year span, 282 Israelis were killed by Palestinian violence, versus 20,000 Palestinians were killed in Lebanon in the summer of 1982 alone, all in the name of a strike against terrorism. And don't take those figures lightly. We have terrorism, the death squads that we've set up, 50,000 in El Salvador, 36,000 in Honduras, another 70,000 in Guatemala. The intelligence communities have been working on those poor little countries in Central America and South America continuously. Terrorism isn't necessarily one country invading another, such as, say, the Soviet Union going to Afghanistan, is terrorism? Granted. But what about American terrorism? It's totally disproportionate to what the media is telling you and the fact that the Mossad's involved in terrorism. Indeed, it is, and a good many people died just in 1982 in Lebanon to attest for that. Now, as far as heart attacks, there was a matter here, a current heart attack that I want to share with you in detail before I continue with Accuracy in Media, pertinent to what Reed Irvine is saying. Keep in mind, as the Iran-Contragate story goes on, as it developed from the time Mr. Hassenfuss dropped in Nicaragua and escalated to the links of the Swiss banks run by Willard Zucker and these mysterious accounts, the Credit Suisse and the other banks, three people have died from the Central Intelligence Agency: Edward Lansdale, Santo Trafficante, and Mike Burke. All had associations with the Contras, all had associations with the Vatican, all with Richard Nixon, with the Bay of Pigs, with Ronald Reagan's teams, and with the Central Intelligence Agency. All three of those died in the past month, one after the other. But the most interesting and current pertinent death, and I have a list of many deaths related to Contragate that have just come down since November, is that of Senator Edward Zerinsky, and he was described in the New York Times as the first Jew ever to win a statewide election in Nebraska in 1976. He died of a heart attack. Senator Edward Zerinsky died of a heart attack after performing at a press club gala in Omaha. He was 58 years old. In addition to leaving a major void in the Senate Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry Committee, he was on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, where he headed a new subcommittee on terrorism, narcotics, international communications, and this has to do with Contragate. Zerinsky was singing The Great Pretender in a soft shoe dance on stage. He returned to the audience and was ill. He was pronounced dead a half hour later. Zerinsky, a Democrat, resisted the policies of the Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker. Now, Reed Irvine worked for the Federal Reserve for 20 years. I must mention that. He was close to the Federal Reserve for 20 years before he formed Accuracy in Media. Zerinsky was fighting the policies of Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker. He said they were destroying his constituency. He was a longstanding critic of the National Endowment for Democracy, part of the Congregate and the Channel offices and North, and for the U.S. Information Agency. That's Mr. Zwick, the darling of Ronald Reagan and Nancy Reagan. They've both recently been exposed for their role with Oliver North's Project Democracy with private covert operations. As chairman of the newly created Subcommittee on International Narcotics Terrorism, he was going to pursue these investigations of Project Democracy and the USIA. Washington Post, March the 7th, 87. North's aides linked to Australia study. This is Oliver North's assistants are linked to the Nguyen Bank. General Secord and other men, Thomas Klein, Theodore Shackley, are the focus of a Senate Foreign Relations Committee investigation. The Australian study of the Nguyen Bank provides additional evidence that will help the committee determine whether this group simultaneously functioned over the years as the official government intelligence agents while they were allowed privately to conduct legal and illegal operations for their own profit. Given the recent revelations about these men, I am greatly concerned, said Senator Edward Zirinsky of Nebraska, a member of the Foreign Relations Committee, hours before he died of a heart attack on Friday. He was getting the reports of the Nguyen Bank, and you know the connections of that. If you take Western Goals and Reverend Moon and Nguyen, you have the ball of wax that David and Nip and I have been talking about for many, many years. The Washington Post said Michael J. Han from the Green Berets, from the military intelligence, served in Laos in the 1960s with Air America, which Eugene Hasafas also served in Laos with Air America. He took part in the movement by U.S. Navy of a spy vessel to the Iranian Navy in 1976, and George Bush was CIA director in 1976. The Washington Post goes on, Edwin Wilson, the CIA agent, was the head of a secret Navy intelligence group called Task Force 157. Now, Henry Kissinger was head of Task Force 157. Under him was Robert Keith Gray, who operates the Powerhouse, that public relations office that I said was an extension of the CIA, and George Bush headed Task Force 157 when these very people were being talked about. He was CIA director in 1977. George Bush was CIA director, and it continues, while heading the foreign, this Washington Times, the story of Zirinsky, continues, while heading the Foreign Relations Subcommittee on Western Hemisphere Affairs, Zirinsky was surprised. He surprised his fellow conservatives in the Senate by supporting United States aid to Sandinista regime, not the Contras, in Nicaragua. He argued that economic assistance to the government would keep Nicaragua out of the communist camp. Zirinsky was well known for his one-line jabs in Washington establishment. The administration has done to farming what Bonnie and Clyde did to the banking. So he's hitting George Bush's Task Force 157 that is up to his ears in deaths, in drug running, and connections of espionage. He was hitting the Federal Reserve. He was willing to send money to the Sandinistas. And his committee was getting the papers from Australia on the Nguyen Bank when he dropped dead of a heart attack hours after he talked about the Nguyen Bank and the people he was concerned about. The Washington Post again, March the 7th, I'm greatly concerned, said Senator Zirinsky of Nebraska, a member of the Foreign Relations Committee, hours before he died of a heart attack. Now, who replaced Zirinsky in Nebraska? He's a Democrat from the Senate, first Jew that is ever elected to a statewide election in Nebraska. Who replaced him? I'm quoting articles now. This one's from the San Francisco Chronicle. We'll start with that one, March 17th. And I have two or three on the man who replaced him. David Carnes was selected by Governor Kay Orr to replace Senator Edward Zirinsky. The man she selected, Governor Orr selected, Governor Orr rather, David Carnes is described in the front articles about him as, in quotes, a political novice, a political unknown. Appointing a Republican to replace a Democrat in the Senate now closes the edge to 54 Democrats and 46 Republicans. And if this is allowed to keep up, the edge will be equal and then over, and then be careful. The tally of the Senate is being noticed on the death of Mr. Zirinsky and the replacement of a Democrat with a Republican. Carnes is senior vice president and general counsel of an Omaha lumber and grain business, also chairman of the Federal Home Loan Bank in Topeka, Nebraska, and Colorado and Oklahoma, Topeka, Kansas. Carnes worked a short while in the White House on a fellowship in 1981. He's held no political office at all, and he's coming in as a senator. He was in the White House in 1981 with Housing and Urban Development Samuel Pierce, and you remember how controversial and do-nothing that particular position was. Elizabeth Carnes, his wife, previously worked for Barbara Bush, the wife of Vice President George Bush. Carnes described himself, and dig this, the former, her husband, Barbara Bush's husband, was the former head of Task Force 157, and Edward Zorinsky was going to investigate it. And Barbara Bush is a person that who worked for her was Elizabeth Carnes, whose husband was appointed a Republican to take a Democratic seat in the Senate by the governor of the state of Nebraska, and she worked for Barbara Bush. Carnes described himself generally as a conservative. He thinks the arms to Iran was a mistake, but he believes that the rebels should be armed in Nicaragua. So there's a vote change now. Give the money to the rebels. He also supports a constitutional amendment to ban abortion. So when you in Nebraska vote a Jew or vote a Democrat, he can quickly be knocked down and replaced with a Republican who wants to arm the Contras, whose wife worked for George Bush, the very man who's mentioned in the Task Force 157 in the investigation of Nugent-Hand and the link to the Contra Gates. Now, I just want to emphasize this again one more time. Zorinsky was to investigate Nugent-Hand Bank and Task Force 157 that involved Bush. He was replaced by a man after he died suddenly whose wife worked for Barbara Bush. And George Bush, on March the 14th, had a ceremony swearing in with about 30 congressmen, Republican senators, in his office for Carnes. Bush did the swearing in himself, according to the Washington Post, as leading him to this Republican senator to replace that Democratic senator who would have been investigating these matters. So I think this is a very sorry state of affairs. Washington Times said had a few more comments about Zorinsky and David Carnes, but I believe you get the idea of what I'm trying to say. Now, what kind of a heart attack was it? And before I did want to get into detail of the board of directors of Accuracy in Media. I broke that down this weekend and linked them to the corporations, the government, the intelligence community, and they've come up with a very absolute picture of an organization that is set to knock out the small professors, the small publications, the printed word, the radio programs that have an ounce of truth to them, who don't stand to lose because there's no sponsors. So he has to twist the wrist of the president of the university. Now, I have to go back again for you listeners who've heard it before and some who haven't to the book Spooks by Jim Hogan, because it is pertinent. Just this one section in the book is filled with 400 or 500 pages of valuable material. It's pertinent to the question now of Reed Irvine putting down death by heart attacks and making fun of David Emery and in lieu of the Zorinsky change. In the book Spooks, he describes how private persons use the Secret Service, the CIA, the FBI, recalled former, to guard them and take care of them. And he referred to a man he met named Paul Rothermill, who, with conversations with Peter Noyes, and Peter Noyes had tapped into Clay Shaw and the links of the assassins to John Kennedy to out into California as well as New Orleans, those connections. Peter Noyes interviewed Rothermill, who described his past association with the Hunt family of Texas. While employed in the Secret Service of the patriarch H.L. Hunt, Rothermill said that the old man's son, Nelson Bunker Hunt, approached him in connection with a plan to form a paramilitary group for political purposes, a killer force to train in the desert estates in the West, a connoisseur of horses and right-wing causes. Nelson Bunker Hunt is an important contributor to the John Birch Society, a confidant of Robert Welch. He's one of the world's richest men. He conceived of the idea, not only did he accumulate riches, but to organize the so-called American Volunteer Group, AVG, organized it with supposedly lethal intent. Hunt planned to recruit a private army from the ranks of General Edwin Walker's John Birch Society in Dallas. Now, Nelson Bunker Hunt is directly linked to Western Gold, to the Channel office. Larry McDonald of Western Gold was the president of the John Birch Society at the time. He went down on the KAL. Western Gold went in the hands of the Channel offices that I'm referring to now with their various front organizations. And Nelson Bunker Hunt is a big funder of the Contras and the private armies that were sent to particularly Central and South America at a time when Congress said the money shouldn't be sent there. They do run their own armies and have a team that have gone back a long, long way. Now, the legal intent was, as I say, to use General Walker and from the ranks of General Walker, and I've cited in my article on John Kennedy assassination, the Nazi connections, how General Walker brought from Munich, Germany, 29 people into the Dallas-Fort Worth area, right to Robert Morris's home, a member of the John Birch Society, a man active with Reverend Moon today. So this is not far away from the plans that were made. And Mr. Rothermill refused the job, but that doesn't mean it was done. The plan was to use weapons with the virtue the victims would appear to have a heart attack. They referred to a gas gun that is used. They gave an example, always the KGB used it, but there'd be no noticeable trace. And then in the book Spooks, it continues on with reasons to believe that Mr. Hunt's efforts were linked to the Minutemen, to Robert Depew out to California, and those were indeed the links to Ronald Reagan and to the assassination team that did kill John Kennedy. But they go into the trailer that outfitted Electric Command Post and said that the AVG, that's the group that were to kill political people in this country, had a goal of 10,000 people that they would need to kill. All members of the Actions for Democratic Action and maybe 10 million others were targets. And this is a quotation of Robert Brown, who was put into business of Soldier of Fortune, the magazine that recruits the mercenaries, by none other than John Singlaub on the board of Western Gold, very active with the Contras, in and out of the White House with Oliver North, so that the effort to give heart attacks was perfected a long time ago, and the stated purpose here was 10,000. In Germany, there were 400 deaths, and printed in Spooks a few years ago, the goal of these people was $10,000. 10,000 people. I think in terms of dollars, as I separate the Contragate story, it's easy to go off in terms of dollars. Now, the network for these operations for accuracy and media and Reed Irvine was set up, described again in the book The Last Hero, and I've used many, many times those pages from the end of the book, towards the end of the book, page 795, up through about 798, 799, that describe the corporation, first called American Canadian Corporation in May 45, that was set up with major countries, 37 countries, and over 500 or 600 businesses and corporations to take care of matters, as it were, after World War II, to make sure the world is safe for these major corporations. The company changed its name in 1947, but active in this company in the went from the WCC, the World Corporation, WCC, up to the British American Corporation, Canadian Corporation, from WCC to BACC, changed its name in 1947. Contributors to this were Alan M. Scaife of Pittsburgh and Sarah Mellon Scaife of Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh the family of the Mellons, were active participants in this corporation that set up headquarters all over the world in the most prosperous countries and then the undeveloped countries. It was 47 foreign countries right after the world, after the war. So the point is that the Mellons are identified, as are many other people that I'll share with you, as being participants of funding accuracy and media. And there's no doubt that a Reed Irvine, who came from the Federal Reserve Board, working there for 20 years or 24 years, would then go over to an organization and start a thing like Accuracy in Media in 1969, in September 69. In April of 1969, Martin Luther King was killed. In June of 68, Robert Kennedy was killed. And there had been so much of the investigation of John Kennedy still brewing and not solved, and added the King death and the Robert Kennedy death, which would be so obvious to a few people, we hoped, there had to be an answer for people out in the boonies, the small colleges like Foothill College or any other small colleges where people are talking about the assassinations or the Nazi connections to the government, there had to be an organization that would come into the college classes, listen to the radio stations, and try to close them down, because we finally unlocked the keys of what fascism is and how it works. And Reed Irvine is a symptom of that fascism. And next week, I thought I'd have more time this week, I'm going into the board members on accuracy in media and their links, as I say, to the Rockefeller Foundations, to the Defense Department, and show that the perfect setup formed by former Secretary of State Dean Acheson with Reed Irvine in 1969 is now bringing the fruit of its efforts and has a well-founded network to round up and silence those people that are telling the truth. My time is up now. I'll continue next week with more inaccuracy of media. This is Mae Brussel, and keep reading your articles in the paper. There's a lot of interesting things coming out right now.